Happens most every week?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. Well, I'm around once a year. My name's Randy Speck, and I work over at Oakland Christian. And I know some of my other friends and colleagues come over here from time to time to talk with you. Bill Schumann, I think, and there's a Dr. Chalufo who comes. I think he does some art things. You guys know who I'm talking about? Maybe not. Okay. Well, maybe he hasn't made any kind of impression on you. That's good. I hope you guys have had a good week. You know what? I don't know about you, but when I walked outside this morning, and by the way, you guys who led, I really appreciate that, because I know that kind of came up the last minute, so nice job leading this morning. I wasn't expecting snow this morning when I walked outside. It's April 14th. It's not supposed to snow anymore, is it? Are we ready for the springtime? Full, all the way, permanent? How many of you like snow? You like? I mean, if you like snow, raise your hand. That's cool. How many of you like snow like 12 months out of the year? Okay, now we need to make a few changes and stuff like that. All right. Well, I'll tell you, we're going to spend some time this morning. I tell you what, can we lower this thing? Or just move it. I feel like I'm this kind of thing. I'll probably ask you guys some questions here in a little bit and want to hear from you on a few things. But I want to start off in a word of prayer. And we'll just all be together on this. And there's probably some things going on in your lives, and maybe with your families, or just things at school, or just what's going on. And I won't take time necessarily to write anything down or anything, but I just want you to pray. We'll start off with a silence, and I'll pray. We'll kind of close off together, but we'll all be on the same page when we start going here in just a few minutes, okay? So let's have just a moment of silence, and then I'll close it out. Lord, I just come to you this morning with this wonderful group of people saying thank you for the day, no matter whether it's snowing or cold or sunny and 80 degrees. We're just thankful for the day. And we're thankful for the day because it's the day you've given us. And really, the weather outside is not going to change that. You've given us this day. We have an opportunity and choice to use this day to hopefully in some way glorify you. It may be just in the fact that we are obedient at home to our families. It may be just the fact that we clear our minds of some things that are in our minds. It could be a lot of different ways that we have an opportunity to be obedient to you this morning and glorify you. That's what we want to do because this is the day you've given us. We're going to be rejoicing glad in it. I'm so glad to be here this morning. We're going to share, Lord, together. And I pray that at the end of our time together, that you will have, your word will have been spoken in truth in this room. The different things, Lord, that you have heard pray from the group that's in this room, Lord, I ask that you will bless these folks, bless their lives, bless the students in this room and their studies and the work that they do. I'm thankful for them. I'm thankful to know that at the high schools that they attend, in the middle schools that they're at, that this group is carrying the light of your Son, Jesus Christ, into those places. Lord, we love you and we pray these things in your Son's name, Jesus Christ, amen. Okay, so I think a lot of you will be able to relate to me on this for the most part, I think. We're in a technologically advanced world, wouldn't you say so at this point? Moving pretty quick. I mean, how many of you text? How many of you text message? Some of you may not be allowed to tell me that you text. Maybe that's probably what it is. Okay, I got a friend of mine. That's cool. I got a friend of mine who, she got 1,500 messages a month. That's a lot, right? I mean, do some math. It's a couple hundred a day or something like that. And I, you know, and she's like speed thumb, you know. That's cool. Well, I've got a 5-year-old who doesn't text, but I mean, he can look in my phone. And one day we were at dinner with myself and my father-in-law and brother-in-law. We're all there, and he's got all three, got my phone and his grandfather's phone and his uncle's phone and all out there. And he just intuitively knows how to find the camera or find the games. Now, he can't read. Okay, he can't read, but he just can figure it out. I mean, you can just figure things out now. I needed an instruction book. I still need an instruction book. But you guys, and then the generation below you, can just figure it out. Okay? We're in a world that's pretty connected. Okay? Whether it's Facebook, I'm going to talk to you about that in just a minute, in a hopefully in a positive way. MySpace, all these different kinds of things that are out there that keep us connected. It's good and the bad with it all, but I mean, the world has gotten a lot smaller. Medical science. I mean, we made a lot of progress in medical science. I had a grandmother several years ago, probably 20 years ago now, when she was first diagnosed with Alzheimer's. Well, about 10 years later, she passed away, but if she was just diagnosed now with it, now they have the medicine, now they have the ability to slow down the progress of that disease. And I think, oh, through medical science and through technology, I mean, the world is really moving at a rapid, rapid pace. And then I go to the grocery store. And for me, that's where technology advancements of the world just come to a complete stop. Now, I don't know if you go to the grocery store with mom or anything like that. I'm the one in my, I like to do the grocery shop. I don't know what it is. It's kind of my own therapy, I guess, because no one's trying to call me, no one's talking to me. I can just be there in the aisles and just have a nice time with the paper products and all that kind of stuff. Okay? And my wife sometimes will give me a list. I mean, it works out this way. She makes the list, and I'll look at it. And I actually play a little game, okay, because I have very little fun in my life. So I'll play a game at the grocery store. And here's the game. I look at the list, and I kind of map it out, like a little strategy. And I think, okay, here's where I'll start. Because she doesn't put it in categories, so I put it in categories for myself. So I say, if I'm going to start here in produce, and I'm going to work all my way around to the dairy aisle at the far end, I want to see if I can go from one side of the store to the other and get everything on the list without having to backtrack. Okay, again, no fun in my life at all. Okay. So I look at the list and I categorize everything and I'm ready for my adventure. Okay? Whether it's at Kroger or Meijer or whatever. I mean, okay. But one of the things that will just kind of immediately make me have a kind of a bad experience is when I see on her list that she has like a pepper or some kind of produce where I have to use this. You know what these things are? This is evil. And I'm going to tell you why it's evil. Because I just talked about all the technology advancements of the world. I thought I can communicate with people on the other side of the world right now if we wanted to. But these bags make it doggone difficult to get a pepper inside these things. Now I'll get the thing and I'll pull it out, and I'm a relatively intelligent individual. I got degrees hanging on my wall, all this kind of stuff. And I look here and I say, okay, it says this particular one says open here. It's got arrows pointing down where I'm supposed to open. That's very helpful. Okay. Some bags at some stores have different languages, and if you spoke different languages, it'd be great. The arrows are helpful to me, but what the problem is I can't get it open. I mean, their arrows are pointing there, but it's like they're playing a joke. Okay, especially if you're a guy. Okay, especially if you're a man. Now, I'll sit there and I'll say, oh, look, it's starting to open. And then it's a cruel joke because all it is it just opened the flap. It still didn't let me get inside of it. And so I'm doing this with my thumb tonight. I bite my nail, I've got my nail and I can't get anything in. So now I'm thinking, well, maybe the arrows were wrong. And so I go down to this side. And all I'm trying to do is get the pepper in the bag. Okay? Because remember, this is my fun time. This is like Disney World for me at the grocery store. So I'm trying to have some fun, and I can't have any fun because I can't get the pepper in the bag. And I'm standing there, and I'm terribly embarrassed. Terribly embarrassed. And all the moms, when the moms are walking by me, and I can hear under their breath, they're going, amateur. That's what they're saying. And the dads are walking by, and they're going, dude, just put the pepper in the basket. Don't forget the bag. Forget the bag. And it's the one time that I've been fortunate in my life. I feel for the most part that I belong in places. I don't feel out of place in a lot of places with people and things like that. But this is that's kind of a silly example and stuff. But I'll get there and I feel embarrassed. I feel out of place. I feel like people are looking at me like I'm getting punked or whatever. Or, you know, Ashton Kutcher's going to come out of the closet and say, well, this is your punk, whatever it is, you know. Whatever it is. And I feel for a moment, to be honest with you, like I don't belong, I'm out of place, I look weird, all this kind of stuff. I'm going to read you a verse. It's my most favorite verse in the Bible. And it's a verse you're going to know. It's a verse you're going to be very familiar with. Because it probably is the most famous verse in the Bible. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but will have eternal life. Now, for several months, I've been studying John 3:16. I mean, it's probably about the only verse that I have spent any time in the last 6 months. And the kids that go to church with me, we were talking about it in class, and we've been talking about it for about the past 6 months. And we looked at everything. We looked at the God part. And I said, wouldn't it be great as we've studied this if we could figure out a way to mobilize people and take the message of John 3:16 to 316 people per person in our youth group. And for us at the church, that's about 20. So 20, 316, you know, over 6,000 people that my youth group has committed to try to take the message of John 3:16 to. So one of the things we did, we set up a Facebook page, 316. It's called LOYG316. Right now it's got about 500 people who are part of that group. We have discussions on that page about different kinds of things, and we're just trying to figure out how do you take the message of John 3:16 to as many people as possible. And we've looked at the verse. We've looked at, for God, I got the God part, that He loved us, whoever believes. And as I look at that verse, and I look at the way that I was raised and brought up, I have to tell you, I was brought up in a pretty sterile environment, not a lot of diversity, pretty bland, which was fine. I love the way I was brought up. It's all good. And the church that I was brought up in, nice people, wonderful teachers, men and women who took an interest in me and gave a lot of their time to me as a kid growing up. And kind of the way it worked is you learn the Bible, you go through it. And you kind of start off with creation. And you go through the stories of the great men and women in the Bible. And you get to the end of the cycle. And you start all over. And I've always heard this said, and you've probably heard it too. You know, every time you read the Bible, you learn something new. I said, okay, that's great. So we'd start all over. Start at creation. We'd go through it, pick up Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Moses, Joshua, and Deborah. You get over to David, and we can relate to David. You got Solomon, and then you get to Jesus, and you spend time with Jesus, and then Jesus dies and is crucified, comes back to life, and then you go to Saul, who becomes Paul, and all these different kinds of things. You get to the end of the cycle, and you start all over because you can always learn something new. Start this whole cycle over again. We start from creation. We go all the way through, and every time you add a little bit more, and it was good, and I loved it, and I appreciate the teachings. But as I've looked back on the teachings and have started my own teachings of the Bible, especially the way I raise my children, I keep coming back to a certain question. And one of the questions that I ask, and one of the questions that I find, especially in John 3:16, is there are some questions that I need to ask about how I treat people. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. I'm going to read it again. I'm going to say it again, but I'm going to focus on a certain word. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but will have eternal life. I saw a video a few weeks ago. It was really cool. It was set to, I forget the name of the song, but it shows Jesus. It was kind of from the old Jesus of Nazareth movie. And it's clips of him with people. And I started watching this clip. And by the end of it, I'm like crying and I'm looking at it. And I'm looking at how Jesus, even though it was a movie, looking at Jesus and who he's spending his time with. And in this video clip and all these scenes, Jesus is spending hell of his time with people who really need him. People who are really hurting. People who are dying. People who are sick. People who have made mistakes. And I started to think, who are the whoevers of the world? I mean, I want you to think about it for a minute because I want to ask you that question. I want to hear from you, okay? Who is a whoever? I mean, I've gone to church all my life. Every Sunday I'm in church. Okay, most of you are doing the same thing. We're here in our chairs. We're here listening to music. We're worshiping. We're involved in prayer. But sometimes, it's possible that we might think that just because we're here on Sunday, that might make us better than someone who's not. Let me ask you a question. I want you guys to tell me. Take just a couple minutes. Who do you think is a whoever? Think about people at school. In your neighborhood. Right? Who is a whoever? What do you think? Who is a whoever? What about the kid who sits by himself? Kind of by himself in the cafeteria at lunchtime. What about the kid who walks down the hallway and his books get knocked out of his arms? What about the kid or situation who is really going through a tough time? All those kinds of things, because sometimes I wonder if we just look at people who are a little bit different than we are or maybe come from different family environments and say, well, I'm sure glad I'm not like them. It's kind of like that mom walking by me and saying, amateur. I wonder if sometimes I walk by people who are different than I am, or live in a different family than I do, or believe something differently than I do, and I say, whoever. Glad I'm not like that guy. Glad I'm not like that girl. I read the Gospels of Jesus, and I see that he spent a lot of time with these people, these whoevers, folks who were really, really hurting. Now, I think one of the most irritating things that a parent can hear from their child is the term whatever. Okay? Now, I'm going to assume none of you say that, but it is irritating. I need you to go do this for me. Go clean your room. Whatever. You know, son, daughter, come. You want to have some fun today? Whatever. Whatever. Now that makes me just want to, my head just spin off my shoulders. Just irritating. I'll just confess something to you. We're all friends here. I said something to my wife the other day, and she said whatever, and I thought I just wanted to take my head and just run it through the wall. Because whatever doesn't tell me anything. Do you want to go or do you not want to go? Whatever. What do you mean, whatever? Do you want to go or do you not want to go? Whatever. But that's not the question. The question was, do you or do you not? Whatever doesn't help me get from where I was to where I want to be. I want to get an answer. I want to know how you feel about it. Whatever signifies and symbolizes indifference. Whatever said, I don't care. Whatever basically says, sometimes you do what you want to do because I kind of know better. Jesus kind of has two different groups of people that he spends time with. And I'm thinking there are sometimes two different types of group of people that might be in our sphere of influence as well. You got the whoevers. The whoever's are the people who are hurting. The whoever's are the sinners. Okay? The whoever's are the people who are dying. They need help. And then you have the whatevers. The whatevers. And back in Jesus' day, the whatevers were the really smart religious Bible teachers. Okay? Now, I'm not saying anything about Bible teachers. I like Bible teachers. I have a Bible teacher. Okay. I teach Bible. Okay. I talk about Jesus. Okay? But these folks, these Pharisees, you've heard that term before, I'm sure. These Pharisees, these religious leaders, they literally walked around talking about all the different rules and all the different things you had to do to be a follower of God, but they spent very little time actually practicing what they were talking about. They had a list of rules, 400 and something different rules, and they were bent on following all those rules. But when it came to someone who was really hurting, or who had made a mistake, their kind of mechanism of dealing with that person is, let's just kill them. Well, that's not really good therapy, by the way. You know, my wife's a therapist, and I can't imagine someone's coming in to talk to her about their problems, and she says, "You know what? I'm really sorry to hear that, but now it's time to shoot you." You know, that just wouldn't work real well, and it didn't work then either. It didn't work then either, which is why one of the Pharisees, one of the religious teachers, Nicodemus, goes to see Jesus. Now, Nicodemus is one of the really smart guys. Okay? He's got the degrees. Okay? He's Dr. So-and-so and the PhDs and all the stuff after his name, too. And it's not that he just has the degrees. He acts like he has the degrees. I want you to know that I'm smart. And I'm smarter than you. I'm so smart that when they invented smart, they just put me right next to it. I am smart. And that's how some of those guys would ask him from time to time. But Nicodemus hears about Jesus. He's hearing about Jesus because all the religious people are talking about him. And so he decides, let's go see Jesus. So he goes to see Jesus in John chapter 3, and it says that he goes to see him at nighttime. Nicodemus was smart. He was smart. He knew he shouldn't go in the daytime because people would see him. So he goes at nighttime. And he comes up to Jesus and kind of knocks on the door and goes in and he talks to Jesus and he says, "Hey, Jesus, you're talking about all this stuff about being with people and I see all these people who want to follow you. Nobody's following us, but all these people want to follow you. Why is that?" Jesus says, "You know what, Nicodemus? The only way for you to really start making a difference in these people's lives, and I'm obviously paraphrasing John chapter 3, but the only way that you can make a difference in these people's lives is you've got to be born again, Nicodemus. You've got to be born again by the water, by the Spirit." As Jesus, "I am a smart guy, but I have no idea how that's going to happen. My mother's been dead for 30 years. Now how in the world am I supposed to do this?" Jesus goes, "Nicodemus, come on. For God so loved the world, Nicodemus, that He gave His one and only Son, Nicodemus, that whoever, Nicodemus, that guy down the street, Nicodemus, that lady you guys yelled at the other day, Nicodemus, the people in your family that you're not letting be a part of this amazing new relationship with Jesus, Nicodemus, those people, whoever believes, not perish, but will have eternal life." It's probably the most famous verse at the end of the most famous conversation in the Bible. And Jesus, in one conversation, and in flips it upside down, says, "You know what? About a relationship with me, Nicodemus. It is about knowing that there are people out there who are hurting and who are in need of something more than just 400 and something rules that you never keep. I don't know how many in this room like animals. Dogs and cats. I have dog people. Like dogs? If you, get them up. Hi. If you like dogs. Okay. All right. What? Cats? Cats. Okay. We got a few. Cats. All right. Listen. Here's my thing with dogs and cats. I'll start with dogs. I like animals fine. Okay. I'm not going to be marching for them, protesting for them or against them necessarily. I'm not going to wear a t-shirt that says I'm a dog lover and hate cats, or I'm a cat lover, eat, scratch the dogs, whatever it is. Okay, I'm just not going to do that. But if you like dogs, fine. If you like cats, may the Lord be with you. Okay, whatever, whatever. But here's the thing between the two dogs, and I've heard dogs and cats. I've heard this analogy. I want you to see if you guys can hang with this one. A dog. If you got a dog at your house, it doesn't matter if a little small little thing. That maybe not even considered a dog, or one of the larger ferocious beast type things. Dogs, especially, you know, they want to be, they love to be, you know, hugged and all that kind of stuff, you know. And so when you get home from school or work and you got a dog, you know, you get into the house and that dog's been waiting to see you all day. I mean, you know, they run up to you. You know, or if they're little, you know, they scoot over to you, whatever it is. And they get there, and they're basically saying, just love me. Rub my ears. You know, pet. Can we go for a walk? You know, can we just play? Can you just rub my belly? Whatever it is. They just want to, and you know, the dog, you can say, you give a dog water and dry food. And they love it. That's like, oh, awesome. And then you have cats. Okay, you have cats. Now you're walking into the home and you've had a cat. That cat, in some cases, and you can see it too, and it's very threatening when you're walking into the house and maybe you're a little bit late, and that cat is perched up in the windowsill, kind of looking at you, like, where have you been? Do you not know you're late? And their nose kind of goes up in the air. Have you ever noticed about their nose goes up in the air? And you walk in, and you've had a hard day at work, you know, at school and things like that. And you walk in, and the cat just walks in front of you and just turns his head and just walks in this direction, leaving you back here. And the cat's got his nose up in the air and goes and stands in front of his bowl or her bowl. And you go to put something in their bowl, and they're not like the dog that says, I'll just take anything you give me. The cat, for some reason, has become an elitist. And so you put something into the bowl, and the cat says, excuse me? Are you expecting me to eat this? You're late? And this is what I get? My concern sometimes, using that analogy, is that sometimes the church and Christians and those of us who believe in Jesus and call ourselves followers of Christ, that we act too much like the cat and not enough like the dog. That we act like, excuse me? You know, I'm a follower of Jesus and you're not. Well, too bad for you. Stinks to be you. It's good to be me. Bad for you. I mean, I see where I go to church and the family that I live in and things like that. I mean, I am who I am. And you are not me. So therefore, you are less than. And if the church, and if Christians, and if Christian people especially, adopt that mentality, do you think there is any way possible that your friends at school who are not believers, who are not followers of Christ, are going to want to have anything to do with Jesus? Do you think that's going to happen at all? You can do this, because that's the right answer. If we want to have the mentality that what we have is so great and it is so up here and it is so elitist that you have to climb through a bunch of hoops and you have to climb some kind of a Christian ladder of success to get there, then it is going to be very difficult for you and I to ever who need of. And I think about some of the different stories going back into the Bible. I mean, think about this. Rahab, Old Testament, Rahab. The spies go in, you guys know the story of Rahab. The spies go into the promised land. They're getting ready to take over Jericho, the whole Jericho deal where they march around, Jericho falls down and stuff. Well, the spies are there kind of checking the whole thing out, and the people that they're there, and they're looking for a place to hide, and they go into Rahab's house. And Rahab's a prostitute. Rahab's not living a really good life. But Rahab saves these guys. And Rahab becomes part of the lineage of Jesus. When you go back and you look from Jesus all the way back, there you see Rahab, part of the genealogy of Jesus, a prostitute, a whoever. Okay, a whoever. And then you go to stories that you find Jesus in. You know, you got Zacchaeus. You know, remember, you've heard the story of Zacchaeus? Zacchaeus, the tax collector. Zacchaeus was a wee little man. Have you ever heard this story, this little song? He was a wee little man. And a wee little man was he. He climbed up in a sycamore tree. Well, you know, that's a really cute song. And I have no idea how tall Zacchaeus was. I'm going to assume if I was standing next to him, I'd be doing this. But the problem with it is we forget to realize that nobody liked Zacchaeus. The people there, they didn't like Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a tax collector. Okay? Your parents and I are paying taxes, or they're due at least this week. It's a miserable day. Okay? There's no one coming to my house and knocking on the door. I don't know if I have any IRS agents in the room or not, but it's a miserable day regardless. Well, Zacchaeus was attacked. He'd go to these people's home and get... People hated him. Jesus goes in and has dinner in his house. Whoever. There's a lady at the well in John chapter 4. John chapter 4, this lady comes to a well. She's been married 5 times. She's going to the well at the hottest part of the day. She's pretty smart too, because she knows that if she goes during the other times of the day where all the other women are out, they're going to talk about her gossip, things like that. But she goes at the hottest part of the day. And Jesus is there. Jesus talks with her. And Jesus shows her what real love is about. And then in John chapter 8, one of my all-time favorite stories about how you relate to people who are hurting. John chapter 8, lady caught in adultery. She's been ripped out of her house. Okay. And there's a bunch of men there standing with rocks and stones. And they're ready to kill her. She broke one of the commandments. She made a big mistake. She's ready. They're ready just to kill her. And Jesus jumps in, tells them, you know, I'll paraphrase, I don't think you guys want to do this. Because if there's one of you here who hasn't messed up yet, who hasn't sinned, well, you go ahead and throw the stone. You go ahead. But I think all of you really know that you need to move on. They drop the stone and they leave. He goes down, and I can just see him. I can just see him lifting this young lady up. Yeah, she's made a terrible sin. And I am in no way of excusing any sin. Picks her up, and I just see Jesus looking in this lady's eyes, holding her head in his hands, and just saying, you know what? There's a better way. So go on. And don't do it anymore. I think, you know, if Jesus can be that way to people like Zacchaeus, the woman at the well, when in John chapter 8 caught in adultery, if Jesus can be that way, if Jesus can have in His lineage a prostitute, what about us? How do we relate to people? Now, again, I don't know how you relate to people at school who are different than you. But let me share this with you, a friend of mine. A friend of mine's got leads a small group, a Christian small group here in the area. And the church that he's at, they just pair people up based on where people lived in the community. So he and another Christian friend of mine are and their wives are leading the small group. And let me tell you, three of the people who are in the small group. One is an agnostic who, not sure if he believes in God or not. He's just looking for some questions. Looking for some answers to some questions.
Another is a Muslim who is questioning his belief that he grew up in. And then the third, and I'll be appropriate. A third is basically a Las Vegas dancer who lives in the area but travels around dancing and risque type performances, if you will. So he's got someone who hardly even believes in God, someone who doesn't even believe in God, and someone, the dancer, going, "I'm just completely lost. I have no idea what I'm doing." Now, let me just tell you this. There's not a small group curriculum that Brady could go find that's going to be able to help that group. Because at that point, it's not about a curriculum. It's about trying to show people that Jesus loves you. You know what I mean? You don't have to get into you're wrong and you're bad and I can't believe. It's about showing that Jesus loves you. I don't know, and I didn't have the ability to bring this video and show it to you. I don't know if any of you have ever seen the drama that's done. In fact, on YouTube, I think it's the second most video that's ever been seen on YouTube. And it's a Christian video, actually. It's a song by the group Lifehouse called Everything. And it's a skit. Have any of you seen this drama or skit? Oh, I wish I had thought that. Have you seen it? Okay. You know what I'm talking about at the stage? They're on the stage and things like that. Okay. I'm gonna try to describe this to you. I'm not going to sing the song because I just don't have the drama. I don't have everything with me. But you've got a young lady, right? And you've got this man standing next to you who is representing Jesus. He's in her white robe and things like that. And they are together. They start off together. And it's like he's just giving her birth, basically, just giving her life. And they kind of start off almost in this kind of dance together of life. And they're connected and they're moving back and forth. And it's really good. And you start to get this image early on about, wow, these two are together. It's Jesus and he's really connected with this person. And Jesus kind of dances and kind of spins her around. And as he spins her around, there's someone else that comes in. A guy comes in and he starts to dance with the young lady. And he starts to move the dance away from Jesus. And Jesus is standing over here kind of saying, "Well, what about me? I'm right here." And the guy is dancing with the young lady. And then he spins her around and someone else comes in. Someone else comes in that is kind of a model type of a look. And she's walking and the girl who is part of the video, the original girl, she starts to give signs like she's throwing up and practicing bulimia. She's cutting her hair and all these different kinds of things. And then a new person comes in. And this person has wads of cash. And he's throwing cash down in front of the person. And by the way, all the time, Jesus is standing over here saying, "God, what about me?" And every new person that is put into the life of this young lady gets further and further away from Jesus. And finally, this person who comes in is dressed in all black. He really represents darkness. And he comes in and he shows the girl, "You've got pain. Well, there are some things you can do to get rid of your pain." And so they start to dramatize and illustrate some of that kind of stuff. And at the very end, and I'm not doing justice by telling you the story, but at the very end, he hands her this gun and she puts a gun up to her head. And we're all watching it. I saw this live once, and there are 15,000 of us in the audience. We're watching this, and it's guns to her head, and we're going, "Oh, no." And then at the last minute, she throws the gun away, and she starts to run back to Jesus. And as she's starting to run back to Jesus, all four of those other people who were there in her way, who had gotten involved in her life in sin, they're taking her, and they're throwing her on the ground. And Jesus is standing over here like with a rope, just pulling and try to yank her back and get her back into his arms and relationship. And at the very end, Jesus jumps in and pushes all these people back out of the way. And he throws them away. And he grabs her and starts their dance again. Jesus really never talks about cats and dogs in the Bible. But he does talk about sheep and goats. And let me read this. Come to a close here. When the Son of Man comes in glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. For I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?" The king will reply, "I'll tell you the truth. Whatever you did for me, the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me." Then he will say to those on the left, "Depart from me, you cursed, the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry. I was a whoever. You gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty. I was a whoever. You gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger. I needed clothes. I was sick. I was in prison. I was a whoever. And you didn't take care of me. Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes? When did we see you as a whoever?" And he will reply, "I tell you the truth. Whatever you did not do for the whoevers, whatever you did not do for the least of these brothers of mine, you did not do for me." Let me read you this kind of last paragraph here, something that I wrote. We are each whoevers, and we each have our own issues. It could be lifestyle, could be public or private. Could be all of those things listed in Galatians. There's a list of sins that says that are very obvious in Galatians that sometimes we forget about. It's okay to gossip. It's okay to talk about someone behind their back, but it's not okay to do whatever. We are each whoever's fighting a mighty struggle, and we each need help. We can't do it by ourselves. If we try, we will be lost. We need Jesus. We, the whoever's, a room full of whoever's, need Him to love us just like He loved the woman at the well. We need Him to be with us just like He did with Zacchaeus. We need Him to fight for us just like He did with the woman caught in adultery. He is literally all we have, but He's really all we need. Now here's what I hope. Here's what I hope for you as we come to an end here. It's really my prayer that today, when we leave here, that you go view the world a little bit differently. There are people seriously, someone walked in this room right now that looked differently than all of us. Okay? Maybe they were dressed in pull out the old gothic look, whatever it is. Something that is that you can say, okay, this person looks different. It is obvious that they are, whether they're trying to be or what. What would we do? What would we do? Would you kind of lean over to your friend and say, "Hey, scoot down. Scoot down. I want to move as far away as possible. Keep going. Keep going." Would adults, what would we do? I've asked this to churches of just adults and said, what would we do? Would we go get the elders and the deacons of the congregate? Would we say, you know what? Keep an eye on this person. Watching.
we go up to the person
and embrace them and welcome them into this family. So tomorrow when you're at school and you see somebody who is different than you are, I want you to love them. I want you to love them. I was having the last story, and then we'll be done. I was having dinner a couple weeks ago with a friend of mine, and she's sitting to the right of me. My wife's sitting to the left, and some other people are there. I've known this person now for about 8 or 9 months, and I would say that we're relatively close. My child has been with them. We were talking that night. It didn't even occur to me until the very end of the dinner. And it came back to my attention that this person is gay. They're leading a gay lifestyle. I'm not condoning it. I'm not saying it's okay. I'm just saying that, again, I'd stop for thinking about it. Again, this person has been with my child, without me there. I care about this person. I love this person. I've hugged this person. I hugged this person that night. And what I realized was, it is probably okay, in fact, probably right, for me to try to have a relationship with this person, even though they believe something completely different than I do. Now, it doesn't mean that I'm going to change the way I believe. You understand what I'm saying? And it doesn't also mean that I'm going to say the way you're living is fine. But I'm never going to be able to have a real conversation with this person until I have a relationship with this person. And why do you think, I want to hear from you, why do you think that I didn't even remember that the person was gay until the very end of the dinner? Why do you think that could be the case? Because I've gotten to know the person. I've gotten to know the person. And again, I'm not excusing a lifestyle. I'm not saying it's okay. Don't just do what you want to do. Have a good time. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that she's a whoever. I'm a whoever. All God's people are whoever's. And we need people to love us. And the only way I'm going to be able to show Jesus to this person is if I love her first. That's how I have to do it. I can yell at her. I can scream at her. I can shame her. Into the ground. And say, you're never going to be able to do all this kind of stuff. And it's not going to happen. So the kid who sits in the cafeteria by himself, you got to love that kid. You may not even know him. You got to love him. You got to pray for him. We're going to close in prayer. I think we'll have some announcements. And then we'll close. But this prayer, I want to be specific. Specific. I want this prayer to be specific. As we go to pray, I want you to think about that person that you know right now who you would say they're kind of the outcast. They're a whoever. They're the person that no one wants to talk to or be with. And right now, we're just going to pray for that person. Okay? You just pray for that person silently as I pray out loud. Okay? Bow our heads. Father God, we love you. So thankful for the day that you have blessed us with and given us. And Father, there are so many people out in this world. There are so many people here in this room. We need you so badly. We desperately need you. We can't do it without you. And Father, right now there are people that this group right now they're thinking of who are hurting. They're outcasts at school. For whatever reason, they're just viewed as different. And we want to lift them up. The boys and girls, the students, the young men and young women, we just want to lift them up right now to you. And ask you to help us figure out ways to show Jesus to them. There's no need at all for us to feel outcast and embarrassed anymore. We've got you. We've got you. Lord, we love you and we pray these things in your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Are there announcements? We got announcements.